We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Let's not beat around the bush, Ray. Who are the Steelers going to take next Thursday night?
Well, that didn't take long, did it?
No. We don't really have formalities. You know, Joe, we all know each other here, you and I and Paul. Would you like to say hello to Paul?
Hi. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good. Joe, I'm kind of down to, I think it's going to be a right tackle or a center. And I think Talese Fuaga and Troy Fa'utanu are probably going to be off the board. So barring a trade up from one of those two guys, I'm going to say it's going to be Amarius Mims, the right tackle from Georgia, or Duke center Graham Barton. So I'm kind of torn on those two right now, but sitting here a week away, I think it's going to be one of those two guys.
Are you all in on the idea that they're going to go offensive lineman in the first round then?
I mean, there's always a chance. You know, the wild card scenario could be Iowa's Cooper DeJean, at number 20, or, Brian Thomas from LSU, has been – I know he's been in a couple of mock drafts. The only issue with Thomas is he didn't come in for a visit. And if you look at, the six receivers who came in for a visit, they're all kind of like second, third, fourth round guys. So I suppose they can maybe pull a stunner there and take a guy like Thomas. I know they went to his pro day, but, I always look at the pre-draft visits. It's not a be-all, end-all, but if you look at their top four picks from last year, guys, Broderick Jones, Keanu Benton, Joey Porter, and Darnell Washington, all those guys came in for visits before the draft. So I think if they follow a similar path this year, I think they're probably going to be heavy on top 30 visits this year as well.
Ray Fittipaldo on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Are you familiar with this, the Bob McGinn piece every year, the draft piece, where he's been doing this forever, where he has a bunch of anonymous scouts with quotes on people,
yes.
Ray? It's tremendous
yes.
stuff. And I want to ask you a couple of things here. He has one person quoted as saying, Amarius Mims may be the biggest bust in this draft, has that kind of potential. I'm not sure why he's saying that. He's saying, okay, here it is. One scout said he's only started how many games? That's not very many. That scares the blank out of me. And then someone else right. says that Graham Barton, the kid from Duke, is too tall to be a center. Did anybody ever tell him that some of the best centers in the league are pretty tall? He has a guy quoted saying, I wouldn't want a guy who's a 6'5 center. Why not? Is it Creed Humphrey's 6'4 or around there, isn't he?
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably more of an old school scout who would say that. I mean, the thing about Barton is if you look at, obviously being 6'5", 317, I think is his weight. He's big enough to withstand those big interior defensive linemen the Steelers are going to see within their division, namely the Ravens. So you want a big center. His athletic profile, while not elite as a tackle, which is the position he played at Duke for 3 years, it's elite for a center. So he's got the athleticism to get out there and pull maybe, or certainly to get to the second level and to block. So, I think that's one reason why he's gained a lot of momentum in the last week or so. And, the Mims thing, I mean, it's true. 8 college starts on his resume, but he's also 6'8". He's got all the athleticism you want. There's a lot to work with there, but I just got the feeling that maybe, I'm not going to call him a project, guys, but I think it's going to take some time for him to develop. And when you look at the Steelers situation this year, they're kind of ready to win now at a lot of other positions. Can you wait on a guy like Mims to be a contributor as a rookie if you really need that first round pick to pan out sooner rather than later? I don't know if he's that guy if you're going to pick him.
Right. I think the there's a lot of people that are nervous though about any guy that you're going to pick at center that didn't have a lot of experience playing center because of the Kendrick right. Green thing. But I think the thing about Kendrick Green yeah. was he was just clearly not very good, right?
Well, here, I mean, Kendrick, here's the difference, and I think people have to understand this. Kendrick Green, I don't care what he was listed at coming out, he's about 6'5", you know, 300 pounds. Graham Barton is 6'5", 317. So, you know, I'll tell you, the first time that I asked somebody about Kendrick Green after the draft, they told me his arms were too short. And, you know, that ended up being true for the Steelers. I don't know if we'll have a second career with the Texans. You know, he's actually playing a little bit down there before he got hurt, but he was short and he had short arms, and that's not great for an interior lineman. So Barton doesn't have those issues. You know, I think you also have to trust your offensive line coach. Pat Meyer was not the offensive line coach here when Kendrick Green was a rookie. You know, they entrusted him to the previous offensive line coach, and, you know, that didn't go particularly well. But if you trust Pat Meyer, and I think they do, and you love his athleticism, which indications are they do, they brought him in for a visit, then maybe you trust Meyer to sort of, you know, ease him into that transition and make him into a center. And it's not like he's never been a center, Paul. He was a center for 5 games as a freshman, and he said at the combine, hey, it's like riding a bike. You know, he didn't have any issues at all going back to play center if that's what a team asks him in the NFL.
Ray Fittipaldi can read his stuff at postgazette.com. So what are people saying generally about this draft? Where it's strong, where it's weak? Tons of wide receivers. Seems like that's the usual thing every year. What are they saying, Ray?
Yeah, so kind of lines up with the Steelers' needs, which is very fortuitous for Andy Weidel and Omar Khan. Very deep at tackle. So, you know, they want to get a tackle early or even second round. I think they could pull that off. Deep at receiver as well, which obviously they need a starting receiver because they dealt away Deontay Johnson. You know, the other positions, I think it's a good corner class. They need a corner. You know, the other positions of need, defensive end, inside linebacker, I would say it's not as great. I don't want to say it's bad, but you're probably going to want to pick and choose there. One guy to keep an eye on for inside linebackers, Peyton Wilson from NC State, long injury history. You're not going to take him early, but they got 2 third-round picks. And I kind of look at the third-round guys. That's kind of a spot where maybe you take a chance on a guy. He's an elite athlete. He played better when he wasn't injured, but he's not a guy that is going to get that you know, medical green light from every team. So if he slips them, like, maybe 84 or 98, and he's still on the board. Peyton Wilson could be a guy the Steelers take as well.
Well, Ray, it would be remiss if we didn't have a quarterback question stuffed in here somewhere. So their 4th-round pick is 119, right? They're going to it's the 119th pick in the draft. I've looked at a couple of these boards, and based on player rankings, right, which of course we know is almost useless, but kind of gives you an idea of where people would be still hanging around. It looks like Spencer Rattler, Jordan Travis, Gavin Hardison, and then some kid from Samford are sort of the guys that would be the highest rated quarterbacks on the list at 119. Would any of those guys interest you?
Or Michael Pratt from Tulane, maybe. Maybe he's projected to go in the 3rd round. I'm not sure what board you're looking at.
Yeah, he's the one I have is I have him listed as like the 88th guy.
Okay, yeah, so he'd probably be gone in the 4th round. You know, out of all those guys, I think Pratt would probably intrigue me the most, or Rattler maybe. But, you know, Rattler, he's a smaller guy, which I guess doesn't matter now. You got Russell Wilson as your quarterback, I guess. Russell Wilson can play in the NFL. You think he can lead your offense. Maybe Spencer Rattler could too, but he's, you know, 6 feet tall. He's got a great arm. He's bounced around, which maybe is a concern for some teams, but he's got great arm talent. So I don't really know, after the acquisition of Justin Fields, that I would want to, I don't want to say waste, Paul, but kind of take a luxury pick on a quarterback. You also got Kyle Allen. They signed as their number 3. I suppose they could, you know, they could ditch Allen, you know, at the end of training camp and keep a rookie if they wanted to. But yeah, of those guys that you mentioned, I'd probably say Rattler and Pratt intrigue me the most.
Ray, I saw where Phil Sims was talking, I think, on a Steelers Now podcast. Anyway, he was quoted on Justin Fields this way. Just was not a good processor. You know, he had some rough games and people would go, well, this offense stinks and all that. But I watched the tape and there are people wide open. That kind of sounds like Kenny Pickett, the idea of not being able to really process the game. Is that fair with Fields, and is that your biggest concern?
You know, I think they want to get him into their system and let him be coached by their guys before they make any determinations. But that was certainly the knock on him in Chicago. You know, he's got all the gifts in the world. He's got the size. He's got a good arm, but he's not particularly accurate. And as you mentioned, there were some questions about his ability to process, you know, what defenses were doing to him. And I don't want to say he relied on his athleticism and his running ability as a crutch, but you know, really that's the way a lot of his offense or the Bears offense came. You know, with, you know, he was one of the best rushing quarterbacks in the NFL for his couple of seasons as a starter there. So I think there's a reason they're going with Russell Wilson as their starter guys. They've made that abundantly clear, but you know, the talent with Fields, if they can coach him up right, maybe he just needs to change the scenery. You know, a new coach in his ear, maybe they can get a little bit more out of him. But I think it'll be good for Justin Fields to sit back, learn a little bit, and, you know, maybe that'll help him in his development as he goes on in the NFL.
What are they going to do with his contract?
They're not going to pick up that option. You know, they got the Harris decision, which I think they'll pick up, but they're not going to pick up Fields' option. That's just way too much money for a backup quarterback, obviously. But I just think we'll wait to see how it goes. You know, I mean, there's that window. We know they don't negotiate during the season, but we know there's that window from end of the season in January until free agency in mid-March where, you know, if the two sides work together well during the season, you know, that's an opportunity to maybe get something done. And listen, unless there's an injury to Russell Wilson, Paul, I don't know that he's going to be a much sought after commodity next offseason either. I mean, look what happened this year. I mean, Steelers basically got him for nothing. So I just think they'll wait to see how it plays out. They'll decline the option, but I think they'll have the opportunity to do business with him next offseason if that's the direction they want to go.
Ray Fittipaldo, PostGazette.com. It's almost time for free association.
Oh,
Ray,
yes.
We're going to wait just a little bit longer. Listen, back to the quarterbacks. This is Russell Wilson's team for now. Well, even if Justin Fields is great in camp and even if Russell Wilson struggles in some exhibition games, am I reading that correctly? I feel like with the Steelers that nothing would surprise me anymore. It used to be very predictable. Now it's not. But am I right about that? Are you going to be shocked if Russell's not the guy for week one?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, I'd be completely shocked. I mean, who knows what's going to happen once the season gets underway. I don't think he's going to have a short leash either, guys. I mean, I think they'll give him every opportunity to get acclimated with his new team. That's why I think this first, you know, they just reported this earlier this week for, you know, I think it's called phase one. You know, phase two will be OTAs and minicamp next month. I mean, this is really important. What they're doing right now is super important. What they're going to do at OTAs and minicamp, really important with a new quarterback and all these new receivers and new coaches. Training camp, ultra important. I mean, imagine how much focus there's going to be from the media and the fans day in and day out about how that offense looks. So, you know, I know people got caught up with Pickett last year, had a great preseason, but I think this offseason and all these practices, they got to take advantage of them. They got to get Russell Wilson comfortable, and he's got to hit the ground running. I'm sure you guys have seen they got what's being called the most difficult schedule in the NFL. They play in a stacked division, a stacked conference. They got to get off to a good start. They can't put themselves in a position like they were last season where they got to make it up late and make another run. They got to get in position early. And if they get Wilson acclimated early, I think that might be to their benefit.
Well, and I think the thing about it is, what was really interesting to me, Ray, is when they signed Russell Wilson, when they brought him here, yeah, they signed him. Okay, when they signed Russell Wilson, the numbers in terms of what Vegas expects from the Steelers didn't move really hardly at all. Like it was almost like they signed a guy who has really no impact, and that's a little troublesome to me because those guys out there didn't build all those hotels and restaurants and casinos because they're wrong more than they're right. You know what I'm saying? So why do you think that is that those numbers didn't move hardly at all?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a mock on Wilson as much as it is a realization that what I just said, you know, they are in a very competitive division with Joe Burrow coming back healthy, presumably. You know, the Bengals are going to be good if that happens. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson, very good. And the Browns, listen, I don't know about their quarterback position, but they've got a good roster. And I think they'll be in the mix as well. So when you factor in they're playing in probably the most competitive division in the NFL and that schedule, I think you get to that number. What's the number? Is it 7.5 or 8? I don't know what it is.
I think it's 8.5.
I think it's 8.5. So, I think it's probably a little bit low, Paul. I think if Wilson has a good season and that defense stays injury free, I think they got a chance to get to 10 wins. But I understand that number. It's a very brutal division. Some positive things got to happen, some good luck maybe. And if that happens, I think they can get to 10. But, I don't know if they get beyond that.
Everybody ready? Little free association here. Here we go. Ready, Ray?
I'm ready.
Over under 25.5 touchdown passes for Russell Wilson.
I'll say under.
Over under 8.5 wins for the Steelers.
Over.
Their first round pick will be?
Amarius Mims.
So if they take a tackle with the first pick, what position is most likely to go with the second pick?
It's not one, Joe. You can go center, you can go corner, you can go receiver, but if you're pressing me, I'd probably say corner in the second round.
Okay, then which center that all these people are talking about will most likely go to the Steelers?
You know, they just brought in Hunter Norzad from Penn State. He's probably a third or a fourth round guy. I know he's not a sexy name, but, you know, if you don't get your guy in the first round, Joe, is Zach Frazier going to be there at 51? I don't think so. Is Jackson Powers Johnson going to be there at 51? I don't think so. So if you miss out on those guys, you might have to wait till round 3 or round 4.
Answer's a little bit long today, Ray, but that was a good one. More touchdown catches next year. Deontay or George Pickens? Deontay in Carolina or Pickens here?
I'll go Pickens.
Who has a better NFL career, George Pickens or old Cincinnati Bengal Carl Pickens?
Ooh, Carl Pickens was really good.
Yes, he was.
I'll say Carl.
Percent Carl. Chance the Steelers still land Ayuk?
12%.
Percent chance they land Tyler Boyd still?
5%.
I heard yesterday on this station, I think it was Steve Palazzaleo, I don't know what his name is, from Pro Football Focus, say that he would be all over Brock Bowers if he were the Steelers, if he was available at that pick, just simply as another pass catcher, forget position. If Brock Bowers, the stud tight end from Georgia, is on the board, would you pick him, and do you think the Steelers will?
No, no, and no.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Ray. Weekend.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.